weekend at the Roth House. This weekend, we did Rothtoberfest because there was no Oktoberfest in Chippewa Falls. So I got my German cooking skills honed and made many German dishes. And there was polka and hammerschlagen, which is a German game. And fun and frivolity was had by all. That pretty much sums up my weekend, and I'm exhausted.
Well, it fits into part of mine because I was there for the opening ceremonies at noon on Friday, sampled some of your German goodies. What I had with the dumplings on Saturday night was what?
So it was like sauerkraut and a dumpling and some
called
pork
it sauerbraten,
and gravy.
Though,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, no, that was something. The sauerbraten was the beef dish.
That's what I meant.
Delicious. But did you enjoy it?
Oh, it was all great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, fantastic.
Good food, good friends, nice fire
There
going.
Wasn't like a lot of polka dancing, though. People shouldn't be...
I didn't see.
Did you wear lederhosen? Either one of you.
I did not wear that. But I did play hammerschlagen, and I am 1-0.
There you go. Who did you play against?
I think I played Alyssa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She got good. My kids. So when we were first at the store, at a hardware store, getting nails for hammerschlagen, Dean's like, he grabs this little tiny box. I said, no, Dean, get this box. It had like 300 nails in it.
Yeah.
He's like, we don't need that many nails. I'm like, I think we do.
No, we don't.
Okay.
That's actual audio from the weekend in the conversation.
So he gets a box with like 43 nails in it. This is plenty. And so I'm like, no. So I bought two of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had to go to the hardware store by Friday evening afternoon to get more nails because we were already running low on nails for hammerschlagen.
It's a lot.
We got sore arms. We hammered so many nails into that log.
Real quick, other thing I did, which I thought of you guys a lot because you have both let me know about Willow River State Park.
Yes.
And I've both been inspired by the time you spend with your families and with mine. My wife's away, and my kids are 15 to 20, and the older they get, the more they can go off in their own directions.
Yes.
But, hey, 3 out of the 5 and me, we made it out there to that beautiful park, and what a waterfall.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, it really is.
Clamoring all over that thing. It's great.
Grace and Elena went behind the one. They were the one who went behind it. So, anyway, we had a great time.
Fun.
So, thanks to both of you for that.
Yes. So glad to hear that.
We also enjoyed a state park over the weekend on Saturday. Oh. So, we went up to Cornell.
Nice. And Bernay Island.
Yes, and it's fantastic. And again, the water is just gorgeous with the sun just sparkling off it there. And we enjoyed a lot of hiking. The kids they had a good time just tromping through the woods and keeping the two-year-old from diving into the water a few times, too. Honestly, one of the highlights is when we went there because our kids love playgrounds, right?
Yes.
Swings and slides and all that stuff. And they've been cordoned off caution tape all over the place. And so we pulled in and Cooper sees the slides and the swings. He says, there's no tape. There's no tape.
Oh, yay.
So they had a great time with that. Yeah. Aww. And then again, watching the Packers hammer the Lions was the Packers hammer schlag in the Lions.
Yes,
was
nice.
Great.
Absolutely.
And also I ran a passing route against my better judgment against my younger brother, Will, and I beat him cold, but I pulled a muscle pretty bad. And so I'm walking with a gimp today.
It happens.
You on the IR?
I don't think I'll be doing that again anytime soon. So.
Oh, good times. Good time. It was a good weekend. It was a good weekend.
Monday morning mailbag here on the Wib Wake Up Show. Kayla, Mark, and Hillary with you. Backtracking a little bit because we didn't get questions last week until after we answered. So Jan asked on the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page, where did each of you meet your spouses? So here we go.
All right.
I met Lindsay here at the station.
Nice.
We actually had been corresponding a little bit, had been introduced by a mutual friend, and had been corresponding on Facebook, got to know one another a little bit. And then she brought some eggless cookie dough here to the station.
Delicious.
Though I don't remember if that was the first visitor or a subsequent visit.
Sure.
My memory's a little foggy.
Nice.
But yes, I do remember her, and she was awesome. And we just started hanging out a little bit more.
Nice.
I could share a longer version of the story, but it was, I knew Peggy. We went to the same church in Eau Claire, and then there was like a singles study. And so I'd been single for a while. I was 33 at the time, and there was talk of, he's now turned on it, but the book was called I Kissed Dating Goodbye. And so we really got to know each other better in that particular study. Lo and behold, six couples did get married out of that study. So, again, we were one of them.
It's a cautionary tale.
Yes.
No, it's fine.
They did kiss dating goodbye.
There you go.
There you go. All right. Let's get married.
I met Dean in the library, in the college library. We were both studying
at
that
time. Couple of bookworms.
Yes, we were both studying and sitting at different tables, but kind of across each other, and he caught my eye. And his first opening line to me, are you ready? This is the best opening line ever. Excuse me, do you know what the date is today? He had a calendar sitting in front of him. He was just looking for an excuse to talk to me, so we asked him what the date was.
I think he's gotten smoother as the years have gone on.
And I worked in the library at the time, so he says, yeah, I checked her out and never returned her.
There you go.
So, yeah, we met in the library in college, and it was fun. So we also have this question coming into us this morning.
Hey, I got a question for you, Mark and gang. So most of us have a regret in life, and we would like to go back and change it. And so I would ask you then is if you could go back and change it, so when you meet God, how do you explain to him that you thought he was wrong on the allowing that to happen in your life and to continue to being the person who he wanted you to be?
All right. So pretty deep question there. You know what? Here's the thing. I don't think that I would go back and change things in my life. And I can say that as someone who has been through a number of traumas, if you will, and has carried those scars and healed for a very long time. Even the bad has very much shaped me into the person that I am today. And I own those scars and wounds. And I wouldn't change that. And I've always tried to just embrace the good, the bad, the otherwise, and live by my decisions. So I don't think I would change it.
Yeah, interesting and complicated question, Kevin. So thought-provoking. I'd love to talk with you separately, even off the air. So I think that'd be an interesting conversation. I'm remembering, before I answer it fully, I remember one Bible teacher saying, encouraging young people, live with a fear of God, and that means that you'll live without regrets. I thought that's some interesting advice. I think there's what happens to you and kind of what you can bring on, right? So I'm hearing it in terms of I'd have a hard time telling God he was wrong. Having said that, there's a lot of things he allows that can wonder about. And so, yeah, I think, I mean, it's hard to disagree with Hillary's answer in terms of changing. I mean, it is what it is. Romans 7 is as true for me as it is for anybody. I do things that I didn't want to do and vice versa. And so it can bring about challenges and things for you in your life. But there's not anything in particular I think I'd go back and change.
There's a couple of thoughts that I had in just brewing about this a little bit. For one thing, we see Genesis 50 where Joseph said to his brothers, tried to kill him and then sold him into slavery. And he can go back and say, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. God's goodness overrides man's evil intentions. But on the other side, I'd be really careful in saying that God is somehow responsible for allowing our own evil. Because in Romans 3, Paul says, and why not say as we are slanderously reported and some claim that we say, let us do evil that good may come, because God overrides everything with his goodness. Let us do evil that good may come. He says their condemnation is deserved. So let's be careful about that, because sometimes we say, well, why does God allow the awful things, the rapes and the murders and the genocide and all those things? And we say, how could a good God possibly allow that? How could he possibly allow that? But let's be careful when we say, how could a good God allow evil, because sometimes we just want God to eliminate the evil that we see as evil, but not eliminate all evil. And yet anything that is against God is evil. So my evil thoughts, my unkind words, all of that is evil. So do we want God to eliminate all evil, or do we want him to eliminate just the things that bother us the most? And so I think what we see in God allowing for a time some of this evil in the world is we see God's unlimited patience with us, because it says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we see God allowing for a time these things that are so hurtful in our world to give a chance for repentance. And so few thoughts on that.
Yeah. Some deep questions this morning.
There we go.
Liking it.
Thank you much, Kevin, Fountain City.
We were talking last hour about regrets and addressing those regrets, and it just so happens that a study popped up here. People over 65 shared the greatest regrets in life. And this was interesting to me, because the most common answer received was, I wish I hadn't spent so much of my life worrying. I think that's very fitting.
I mean, it's scriptural, right? Who of you by worrying can add a single day to his life? So, I mean, you can't change the colors of your hair. You can't add anything to your life by worrying, and it really does you no good. And actually, I'm pretty sure there's pretty significant health detracting elements to worry as well.
Yes. Yes.
I tried to incorporate it recently where I think just realizing being more risk averse than I wish I'd been in life. And I'm not 65 yet, but even at 56. And so, I don't know, just some of the things lately, I mean, just stepping out and doing, I'd never trail ridden before, mountain biking, whatever you call it. And so, again, it might not be a high risk, but it's something.
It's,
I mean, anything you do that kind of gets you in, take a step, you know?
Right. So.
It's kind of like on Sunday when my little brother was like, go run a route against me, run a route against me. I was like, no, this isn't going to end well. I've got a bad Achilles. And he was like, would you? And so eventually I was like, well, if my dad can do it, I can do it. And I did it, and I pulled a muscle. But you know what?
Yay.
It wasn't as bad as all that.
Right.
You know, at least I tried.
You and Devonte Adams have that in common, right? He had a pulled hamstring.
That's the one thing Devonte Adams
had. You both ran routes.
Yep.
Oh, goodness. So, I think I try to, I don't know, trying to form words, and it's hard on a Monday morning.
It's interesting looking at this study a little bit, and this isn't necessarily a biblical study, but just from a mainstream perspective, they say to reduce how much regret we have in a lifetime, the experts suggested increasing the time spent on concrete problem solving and drastically eliminating time spent worrying, because a lot of times worry has to do with the imagined problems, right, rather than actual things that we are facing. So,
yes.
I mean, I'll drop a couple of scriptures, which we already heard back from Rena. Thank you. She had a response to our mailbag segment, and she was applauding the idea of sharing scriptures. I mean, certainly 1 Peter 5:7, cast all of your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. And basically, you know, from Philippians 4, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. So again, it's one thing to quote the scriptures, but then for us to practice them.
Which one do we follow more often? You think about that. Pray without ceasing and do not worry. And We tend to disobey the one and the other as well. And maybe if we reverse those a little bit, we'd.
I like to think of it as, remember this, it's like at a lot of water parks where you'll have something that just sort of captures the water and then dumps it.
Yes.
And that's kind of like when you get burdened. There's certain news sites these days. A lot of people say they're trying to tune out the news. Sometimes the news is driving you to your knees. Okay. And so pray. You know, there you go. Cast it on the Lord.
Well, of course, this weekend, the news being dominated by the passing of
Ruth Bader Ginsburg
here, the Supreme Court Justice.
Dead at the age of 87, pancreatic cancer, and she fought valiantly for a number of years. But, of course, lifetime appointments to the court. Not everybody sees it through to the end. Anthony Kennedy stepped around when he was around 80. But that news on top of everything else in this COVID year, and it comes today, it's just 43 days until the election.
Wow.
But I thought it'd be interesting in terms of, there's a great quote in front of me I hadn't shared with you guys yet. It's one of my favorites from her. But she'd become kind of iconic in the culture. There'd been a documentary and a movie about her. Her nickname was kind of the notorious RBG. And, I mean, she was the kind of the liberal icon of the court. But one of the things I appreciate is hearing the stories of her great friendship with kind of the conservative stalwart for so many years, Antonin Scalia. Scalia appointed by Reagan in 86, RBG by Clinton in 93, and they were great friends. And people wondered, like, well, you're so conservative, Antonin, and she's so liberal. And Brett Baer shared this on Friday night on Hannity. He said, he asked the justice, Scalia, about that, and he said, Brett, she's so fun, which is kind of a cool thing. And they were both big fans of opera and cooking. One of the great pictures was of, apparently there was a Supreme Court vacation and they went to India. Where do you go for your Supreme Court justice? They went to India, and there was them of Scalia and her both on an elephant.
Fun.
And as they told the story, RBG said that her friends were like, well, you should have been in front of him. And she said, well, they said it was a weight distribution thing.
Sure.
So, you know, putting that your guy Scalia in front. But they were very good friends. And I think it challenges all of us in these tough and tense times, who are you friends with that is quite different from you ideologically?
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. And building those bridges. And, you know, we were talking about this off the air about, you know, those friendships. How how can you be friends if you don't agree? I don't even agree with our, you know, we don't even agree with our spouses on everything, you know?
Right.
I mean, you do want to be challenged by those conversations. And that's, Mark was at my house the other night sitting by the fire for Rothtoberfest, and we were having conversations. And it was like there were so many different viewpoints and opinions, and yet we were all respectful, and it was a conversation. How wonderful is that? I love that. Yeah. So
one of my favorite quotes from her, though, is this, and I think you get a kick out of it. And I'm sorry we don't have it in her voice, but she said that she was asked for some advice. She said, somebody asked, do you have some good advice that you might share with us? She said, yes, I do. It comes from my savvy mother-in-law. Advice she gave me on my wedding day. She was married 56 years. She said, in every good marriage, it helps to be a little deaf. Yes. She says, I followed that advice assiduously, and not only at home through 56 years of marital partnership. She says, I've employed it as well in every workplace, including the Supreme Court. She says, and get this now, and it's good. When a thoughtless or unkind word is spoken, best to tune it out. Reacting in anger or annoyance will not advance one's ability to persuade. Very good advice.
Very good advice as well. A life well lived, Justice Ginsburg.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn Radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.